Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name's Barbara P. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, June 9th, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 44, the first paragraph. We're starting We Agnostics. We'll start within the preceding chapters you have learned and ending with Only a Spiritual Experience Will Conquer. Today's readers are Susan G. reading the 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, or Mary F. Readers of the text will be Chanel T. Dana P. will be reading our closing. Luann C. is hanging out in our background looking to help us out should we get ourselves in trouble. We've got newcomer greeter is Alex K., and our announcements will be done by Robin P. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, June 8th, 10 a.m., is 23,526. This morning's meeting, Tuesday, June 9th, 7 a.m., is 23,530. That was 23,526 for yesterday, 23,530 for today. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrines. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I'll now ask Susan G. from Tennessee, would you read our 12 steps?
Good morning, Barbara, everybody. Welcome. Susan G. in Tennessee, recovered. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable, step one. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Grateful to be here, and thank you for letting me give some service.
Thanks, Susan G. from Tennessee. Well, traditions. Mary S., would you come in and read those for us?
Yes, good morning. This is Mary S., New Mexico, the 12 traditions of OA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be brought or drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Well, thanks, Mary S. from New Mexico. Here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. Let's see, to share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today we're resuming our study of the Big Book. We're on page 44, the first paragraph of We Agnostics, beginning with, in the preceding chapters, you have learned. And Chanel T., would you get us started with that reading?
Yes, thank you so much for your service, Barbara. Hi, I'm Chanel T. in Washington State. Grateful compulsive eater living in recovery today, by the grace of God. And first, just a quick apology. I didn't do the math, and I shared yesterday on one of the vision meetings, so I apologize, but let's read it and get into it. Chapter 4, We Agnostics. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If when you honestly want to, you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Yeah, we spent 3 chapters and the doctor's opinion, which is in Roman numerals land, but extremely important in my life, saves my life every day, talking about the distinction, talking about, am I actually powerless over certain foods and ingredients, and frankly, food behaviors as well, but speaking of the certain foods and ingredients, do I get a certain phenomenon of craving that is distinct to an addict? Do I get that the way an alcoholic gets with alcohol? Because others with alcohol don't get it. They could get buzzed. They could get drunk. A person could get pretty high feeling on sugary foods. But it isn't the same because they don't get that. The more food a regular eater has, the less they want. The more I have of certain foods, the more I want, the more I crave, the more I feel I need to have. And then I also have that mental obsession that tells me it's okay to have that thing this time. Entirely because I'm going to pick up again, left to my own devices, because I'm an addict seeking an elusive release that I get when I take some bites. Doesn't last long, have to keep going back for more, but I don't know how to live life without that. sets me apart as an addict, as a compulsive eater. And the good news is there's a spiritual solution to it. And I don't know why it all works the way it works, except there's a higher power. But I do know it does, because I was hopeless. I was killing myself slowly with these foods and food behaviors. I was lonely, no matter how many people were around me. I was just barely living, no matter how full my life was. And now, it's not that life is perfect. I still face struggles, of course, like everyone else. But I don't have the draw, the pull to those foods. I'm able to turn instead to my higher power, to the step work that we do here, to working with others as well. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. It's conquering it. I'm not cured, but it's conquering it day by day for me. And it's a beautiful freedom. I can't recommend it highly enough. And I'm so grateful for this book, this program that's laid out in this book, and this Bible, this big book study. And I'm grateful for you. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks for getting us started. Chanel T, thank you so much. So now we'd like to get additional shares. And although we value your experience, we ask that you do sharing every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share today?
Donna
Margaret
J.
O.
Donna J.
Margaret O.
Margaret, got you.
Lovey V, Vancouver, BC.
I'm sorry, what was your first name?
Avi, A-V-I.
Okay, got it. And it was Z. Got it. Avi Z. Who else?
Mary S., New Mexico.
Got you, Mary. Anyone else want to join that list? All right, let's get started right there. So Donna J, you are up first. Should be followed by Margaret O, then Avi Z, and Mary S. Donna J, go right ahead.
Hi there, I'm Donna J in Nevada. And I've been in and out of the program for like 25 years, you know, with other programs, but it's been 12-step. But anyway, I've recently come back, and I'm in this paragraph, I don't remember noticing the very last two words, will conquer. That just seems so profound to me. And that's really on the offensive, you know, moving forward rather than the defensive of just staving off. And I just really like that, because it just gives me the confidence that by doing this program and letting the spiritual experience happen, I will conquer this disorder. And I won't cure it, but I will conquer it. So anyway, I just really like that saying. I'm going to remember that. So thanks for letting me share.
Well, thanks so much, Donna J. from Nevada. And if anybody's newer on our line, we just, when you name your state, it's super helpful. State or country, so that we can find you on the members list if people want to follow up with you. So, Margaret, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Avi Z in Vancouver.
Good morning. This is Margaret O in Connecticut. Good morning to everyone, and thanks for all your service, moderator, and Chanel for your lead, and everybody who's sharing. Great paragraph. Glad we're into this chapter, which I absolutely love. The agnostics. So, you know, it's a spiritual solution. So I know I identify in as a compulsive overeater. There is like no doubt about it. but the disease tells me that I'm not, and I can be a normie, and it's okay, and all of that other kind of gray area that is so deceptive, you know, cunning, baffling, and powerful. So I know I'm powerless, and at this point, if there's an abstinent food, because I don't pick up my alcoholic foods, I don't go near sugar, I don't want to. But however, there was something in my food plan that had a natural sugar in it. So like fruit has complex sugar, that's a natural sugar, not refined sugar, and that my body doesn't like, you know, crave and get triggered by. But there's certain other foods that have it, like nuts and seeds. Okay, so they have a combination of natural sugar, like from a nut, and fat. And I know Lori C. talks about this, like the combination of sugar and fat in food. And that I had something like that on my food plan, and it was an abstinent food. I've had it on my food plan, you know, for years. But it's the one that if I'm going to have a slip, that's the one that I always go to. It's kind of like, and I also had backup supplies of it. So I heard Harlan on Sunday morning say, if there's a food you cannot live without, it has to go. And he said that. I was like, oh my gosh, yes, it's that thing in my cupboard that I kind of, I'm a little nervous when I'm handling it. Oh, I don't want to go too far over, but you would like to have more than I'm seeing here in this tablespoon. You know, I mean, that whole, and he said, anything you need to negotiate around. So I know I'm powerless. And believe me, at this point, those things are gone. They're out of my house. I gave them away. I had backup supplies of them. So it's that rigorous honesty, leaning into higher power. There is a spiritual solution, and I am learning so much and growing so much from interacting with my fellows in this vision fellowship. Just people and service and the steps, and it's just a broad highway that I'm happy to be on. And of course, we refer to it as trudging the road to happy destiny as well. It's not easy, but it's, you know, we do it because I do it because I'm powerless. And I know that about myself. And I pray and I lean in and I work it because I have to. And yeah, that's it. Thanks for being here and have a blessed day.
Thanks so much. Margaret O. in Connecticut. Avi Z. in Vancouver. Come on in.
Hi, everyone. This is Avi from Vancouver, British Columbia. Compulsive overeater. So it seems fitting that we're reading this first paragraph here. I experienced a massive relapse on Sunday night. It was a binge like I've never had before. And, you know, all things were heading towards it, and I couldn't see it. The behaviors, the justifications. I mean, I was at an OA retreat this past weekend with people that I love dearly, and I was trying to explain to them how borrowing, for example, was, you know, it was okay because I was eating within my weight and measured food plan, and I know I got a couple of side eyes there and going, uh-huh, right? And and through a combination of, you know, lack of sleep and thinking I knew better, on my way back, it was a 5-hour drive back, and I got it in my head somehow that it was okay because I was restarting my time anyhow. And I proceeded to eat so much, so violently, and shoving food in my mouth. So, like, I couldn't get food in fast enough, and I couldn't stop. I was like a third person watching this happen, and I couldn't stop. And then there was that, and then that, and then that. And to the point that and I'm being graphic here on purpose because I need to be, and I committed to another member that I would come clean, that my stomach was so distended, and I was feeling so ill. And then I proceeded to drive. And after having, I don't know, want to call it clean food, weighed and measured, proper food, whatever it is, for quite a period of time and eating the kinds of food that I ate, I passed out while I was driving. I was driving and I passed out. And if it wasn't, I was driving the highway, the mountain, there were cliffs. And if it wasn't for the rumble strips on the side of the road, and if it wasn't for my car that aligns its tires between the lane, which it alarmed, and the rumble strips, and I came to, I would have died, or I would have killed somebody because of this fucking disease and because I was in relapse. So I took the first turn off and I passed out. I passed out. I slept in my car until I came to, and somebody called me in that time because they were so worried about me. And apparently I picked up my phone and I sounded drunk, and I don't remember any of it. So I'm back today. I'm back. This is my day two. I'm fully abstinent. I love this. I do. I want this. I want this more than anything. And I continue to remind myself that there is one power, one who has all power, and that one is God. And I'm doing everything I can today. I am so desperate. I don't want to die, and this disease will kill me. And I'm grateful to be here. That spiritual experience, that last line, right? You may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And I'm here. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I pass.
Thanks so much, Avi Z. Oh, so glad we're all here. Mary S., you're up. And then we're going to be taking another list of names after Mary. So get ready to think about Sherry. Mary?
Whoops. Can you hear me? Let's see.
Mary,
okay, sorry
one.
About the yes, got it. Thank you.
No,
this is Mary
S. There you are.
Yes, Mary S. in New Mexico. And I just totally relate to this and the lessons I've learned as part recently in the program, if I'm honest with myself. There is absolutely nothing on this earth, and that includes fear I have of this disease and what it'll do to me, self-knowledge I think I have, you name it. And last Tuesday was the first Tuesday of the month, and it was my time to provide the service, to do a reading, and I mega relapsed myself Sunday, Monday. And so Tuesday morning, instead of waking up all ready to do my meditation prayer and ready to serve and be a part of, I set the alarm to the minute after being so hungover with food, did my reading, acting like I was absolutely fine, and then went back to sleep. And it was so cunning and baffling how fast this relapse, it was so fast. The disconnect with my higher power was so deep and so fast. That was the scariest part. And as it says, we cannot stop. I can't stop until I have made myself absolutely sick. I'm also bloated, and I pass out as if I've had any of the beverages that make us pass out. And with the TV on, oblivion, and just totally disconnected from my own mind, body, but especially my higher power. And it was so fast. That just scared me a lot. And so the honesty of really seeing that without any veils of illusion on, being totally honest with ourselves, it just really kind of freaked me out, the depth of it, and how miserable that piece of disconnect from higher power and the fellowship. I didn't feel like I'm, you know, listening to this meeting, or meetings days ago, I was like, yeah, I don't know. I just felt major disconnect, and that was the most painful part. So I am so grateful for this program, and that as we read this, I'm just reminded it is me. And, nothing, absolutely nothing but a spiritual experience is going to keep me in the life that I feel like my higher power has for me. And that means don't go to the food. And I've learned if food, as I've heard, if I think food is an option, it will always be the option. It's just not my higher power is. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Great share today. And we're going to go ahead and take another list of names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. But great, who would like to share on this?
Kristen,
Rebecca,
California.
Sorry, Kristen.
Yes, California.
So our first Sima, floor is Kristen.
Sima M.
Sima, and then did I hear Rivka?
Rebecca M, California.
Rebecca, gotcha.
Rebecca. Sarah M,
California.
Okay, sorry, was it Sarah M?
Yeah, Sarah N as in gotcha. Nancy from California also.
Gotcha. So I have, let me tell you who I have just in case. So I have Kristen, Sima, Rebecca, and Sarah. Did I miss someone else? Okay.
Mary Frances
Sarah.
W from Pennsylvania.
Okay. Gotcha, Mary Frances W. So let me go ahead and stop there, and then we'll see what kind of time we have. So Kristen, come
Can
on
I ask
in
you what-
and...
What are we reading? What paragraph?
Sure. Yeah, sorry about that. Yes. Page 44, the first paragraph in We Agnostics, starting with in the preceding chapters, you have learned, and just reading that one paragraph. So, great. Thanks, and thanks for reminding me. Kristen, come on in, and Sima, you'll be up next.
Hi, good morning. I'm Kristen, compulsive overeater, and... Kristen Y. I'm incredibly grateful for this meeting. It's just changing my life. I realized it struck me ill, my food addiction, when my husband at the time and my son and I did a year outdoor school, the teaching drum. And we'd been out there for a while eating incredibly clean. And for the first time in my life for any amount of time. And my mother-in-law brought us in when she came to visit at our request, a suitcase full of stuff that are addictive binge foods. And I just, like a drug, I can just remember going back to that suitcase. We had it hidden. We weren't supposed to have anything like that out there. And then at some point, maybe the next day in the afternoon, I remember just feeling so sick and wondering what is that? And the disconnect. I mean, that night I was like projectile vomiting, you know, not from anything of my own doing other than what I had eaten. And so, yeah, that realization that there's such a blank spot for me around this addiction and that I need a higher power. I need you guys because my own mind tells me, oh, no, because, yeah, sometimes I can kind of control it, but for the most part, no. And I just want to say that the last time I ate processed sugar, it was so, because I hadn't for a while, it was so clear to me that first I felt a little while later incredibly needy, and then the next day just bluesy, and in that needy time, it was fear. I was like, oh, yeah, it's a it causes, anyway, whew, I'm so grateful to be here and to be getting out of fear and getting over the need to check out in that way, because it's so much more interesting for me to check in with somebody else, do an 11th step. It's amazing. Or a 10th step. Anyway, get on that train, right? I used to sing with the kids in preschool, this train is bound for glory, when we'd walk to the playground. And now I'm singing it for me. And just the recovery is just the gift. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Kristen Wise. Finla, you are up. Please give us your last initial. Let us know where you're from.
So this is Simma M. from New Jersey. Grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery. Well, I guess I did learn something about alcoholism in the few chapters before. I won't say I learned that much about compulsive overeating, but I didn't really, when I walked into OA 50 years ago, I didn't really need to understand much about it. I knew that I was a compulsive overeater. I had already lost weight, so I was walking in knowing that I had no control over the eating. I could be on a diet, but then when that diet ended, whenever that was, whatever triggered me, I was back into the food full time, big time, gaining all the weight back. So nobody had to convince me, and I didn't need more information about compulsive eating. But I was happy to hear about the spiritual experience, which I only heard about from one person. I came into New York in 1975, and there was one person there who had been in AA and now was in OA and was sharing Big Book and the meaning of the program and the spirituality of the program. I'd like to say that I got it and for 50 years I've been abstinent and sober, but that wasn't the case. But I never forgot those first messages that I heard, and I always knew that's what I wanted. So now we are here, and I joined a Vision for You 13 years ago, and I've been abstinent and working and living in recovery since then. I'm grateful to say. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Simma M. from New Jersey. Thanks for your share. Rebecca, come on in and share.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your share, Chanel, and thank you for everyone doing service on the line today. My name is Rebecca M. in California, and I love We Agnostics, especially because the title is We, and this disease wants me on my own in isolation. And when I see that word illness, the I of illness is I'm trying to figure it out on my own, and I'm in isolation. And then, you know, that word we is in wellness too. And so when I'm calling people, when I'm connected with my fellows, I feel well again. And I have to ask myself, you know, these two questions that are in this paragraph, like, because I am agnostic, and, you know, when I think about what, you know, my understanding of what agnostic was even before coming into the program was questioning. And I have to ask myself every day, like, can I quit entirely on my own? No, because I've tried absolutely everything. Everything you can think of, you know. And if when I'm eating, do I have little control over the amount that I take? Yes, on my own, yes, I do. And so I need the spiritual solution. And the spiritual solution is, you know, working these steps. And I love Harlan says it's not a program for anybody who wants it or needs it, but it's for people who do it, do the work. And so I'll become well and recovered if I do the steps, if I work the steps. And that's how I find the spiritual solution, which is my higher power. And I'll never be cured, you know. I'll die with this disease, but I can recover. And the recovery is having like that neutrality around food. And I'm grateful today that I do have that. And grateful and really happy to be here. And I love you all. Thank you so much. Have a great day. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. Sarah N. from California, come on in and share with us.
Hi, this is Sarah N. from California, Sacramento, California, recovering in this room. And I I noticed in this first paragraph of We Agnostics that it ends with, you know, first it's about the distinction between the compulsive eater and the non-compulsive eater. And I'm a compulsive eater for sure because I don't have any control. But then it says, the last sentence is, if that's the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And I've been in the rooms of OA for over 20 years. June 21st of this month, I will celebrate, God willing, one day at a time, 20 years of abstinence from compulsive overeating by the definition of my previous sponsorship line. And I've shared in these rooms about how and noticed how when we read aloud the 12 steps, almost everyone says having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps instead of the result. And I've shared about that because I have always approached recovery and OA like a vending machine. Vending machines are very close to my heart as a compulsive overeater. And I think that if I plug in, I do this, I do that, then I get out a certain sized body and a certain feeling. And what I don't want to plug in and get out from the vending machine is a spiritual awakening. Why would I want a spiritual awakening? I'm looking for a certain sized body and a certain feeling in my life, and I'm looking for a permanent diet. And I realized as I started lurking in vision and this year, and eventually got a sponsor 2 months ago and started working the steps with her here in this meeting, I learned that I still, all that time, was trying to control and enjoy my food. I still thought that, even though I really thought I wasn't on a permanent diet and that it was a spiritual awakening, it wasn't, because I kept being really, really interested in the foods on my food plan, on having more of them and having the cravings and lying in bed at night going, oh my God, how do I not go downstairs and eat more food? And it was really hard. And now I have a neutrality and an ease and a feeling of really not it being me anymore. And God is handling this for me and directing me. And that doesn't mean that I'm not still a compulsive overeater. So I'll keep coming back.
Thanks so much. Sarah N. in California. Mary Frances W. in PA, you are up, and then we will have time for a couple more people. And just for anyone who's joined us, page 44, first paragraph in We Agnostics, in the preceding chapters you've learned. That's what we're talking about. All right, Mary Frances.
Good morning. Hi, it's Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania, and thank you for your service and for everybody that shared this morning. Really powerful shares today, and I'm just so grateful for everybody that's willing to put themselves out there. I'm reminded by many of the shares this morning that I am just one bite away from a binge, and that scares me. It scares me enough to remember one day at a time that I am the real deal. And it scares me enough one day at a time to be very careful about whatever it is that I put in my mouth. I used to be willing to take risks when I would go out to dinner and order my salad with whatever dressing came with it, knowing many times that it was a sweet dressing and there had to be sugar in it. And today, by the grace of God, I'm not willing to do that. If I'm going out somewhere and I know I'm getting a salad, I don't risk any salad dressing that will be served to me. I will take my salad dressing with me. And I don't care who looks at me or what they think.
I am safe with the dressing that I take with me. That's just one example of what I'm willing to do today to protect my abstinence, because 43 years in OA, I wasn't willing to do that. I thought I knew it all, and I didn't. And I didn't have peace around food. And I know it's not all about the abstinence, but what I'm also learning this time around is about emotional sobriety. And that is so important, like in my relationships with my family and people around me, to be able to be a grown-up and to be the mature person in the room. Like, that's never happened before. And it's a miracle. And I'm just so grateful. Like, I'm so glad that when I came in this time, we were in Bill's story. And although I wasn't here for the doctor's opinion, I learned enough through the chapters that we did about the disease and that I am a real compulsive overeater, that I'm ready now. I mean, I've gone through the steps, I'm sponsoring, but I'm ready now to move on to We Agnostics. And I'm just grateful to be with all of you and with all the vulnerability and honesty and authenticity on this meeting. And I just love Vision. And again, thank you for your service, and I pass.
Thanks, Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania. So grateful for all of you. So we have time probably for two more shares. So star one if you would like to talk today.
Nadia.
Wendy M.
Peggy W. Okay, so Nadia, and then I think I heard, was it Mindy?
Wendy.
Wendy. Got you, Wendy. Okay. Nadia and Wendy. And then if we have time, who was the third person who chimed in? If we have time, I don't think we will.
Peggy W.
Peggy. Okay, Peggy, if we can, we will try and get to you. So, Nadia, please step in.
Good morning. Thank you, Nadia V., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. I just love this diagnostic paragraph. Just to summarize, they're making us think about the summary, you know, what we've learned about alcoholism. And it says that wanting to stop, wanting to quit, does not, help us in any way. And sometimes people will say, well, maybe you don't want this badly enough. And I want to say that I wanted to stop. I wanted to stop so bad. Who wants to suffer from this condition? You know, wanting is not a requirement for recovery, right? And it doesn't help us in any way. I mean, it's good to want to stop, but it doesn't prevent us, right? It does not help us gain control over this condition. It says that the only thing that helps us to relieve suffering from this illness is spiritual experience, right? And wanting to stop binging, right, is not really something that that can do the job. So we need spiritual experience, and it says it helps us think. You know, are you an alcoholic, Nadia, with food, the way that this book describes? And I have to say, long before I suspected that I had a problem with food, I had a problem with food. For me, eating, in a disordered way was so normal that I didn't know what I didn't know. And when I came here and learned about alcoholism, I surely wanted to stop, but I prayed and hoped that I was a non-alcoholic, and I still experimented. So, and it's been said today that spiritual experience is produced by, exercising this way of living, this program, right, that is outlined here. That's the way we get spiritual experience, not through food plans and even abstinence, right? Abstinence is great, and it's a prerequisite to working the program, to be sober enough, but it does not help us stay sober. The only thing that helps compulsive overeater like me is a spiritual experience. And also, I loved, someone said that I'm not cured, but I can stop suffering from this horrific, horrendous, debilitating addiction. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I've learned, thank you, that I've learned about this condition enough, that I had enough knowledge to continue doing what I needed to do in order to experience this spiritual awakening. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia P. Wendy M., you're up for 3 minutes.
Yeah, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So grateful to be on the line. Thank you, moderator, for your service. And I love the shares. You know, when people go deep and tell us the truth of what's happening, that it invites all of us to go deeper and say, okay, yeah, you know what? I didn't actually ask the waiter about the salad dressing, right? I didn't exactly take the sauce off of the chicken. You know, I did it enough, right? And so just the honesty is beautiful, because when I'm honest, when I tell somebody exactly what I did, I get God. That's the spiritual experience, is first and foremost the honesty, right? Turning our food over. You know, weighing and measuring is a spiritual experience, because it says it's not about Wendy anymore. It's about something other than me, the scale, right? Or I get a nutritionist, because it's not my business what I put in my mouth. You know, the spiritual experience is the freedom that we get when we tell the truth to one another. Spiritual experience is when we turn over, right, our will and our lives. That's radical. And you know, it's more than the food. It starts with the food, you know, weighing and measuring, and then having my sponsees tell me what they eat. I do the same with my sponsor, and I tell her the truth when, you know, I'm eating the salad and I'm not inquiring about the dressing. Right? Because I took my will back. When I take my will back, you know, I said before in another meeting, it's exhausting to lie. Lying is exhausting. The spiritual experience is not exhausting. Like when we first go to God, it's hard, right? Because we've never done it. And then it becomes very easy. And when I'm in Wendy's will, it's very easy at first. You know, these foods look delish. But then it's really, really hard. And it's true. You know, and the spiritual experience is I'm learning, how do I treat people? How do I treat myself? Like learning, like this is courageous work, right? But we get freedom when we do it. I'm in the bondage of self, not just with the food. You know, we all have that history of picking up that one item and we can't stop. I can't stop. That's my story, right? And then the minute I weigh and measure it, the way it's not my business. You know, I have sponsees, well, I don't really want to talk to a nutritionist. I think I've got this licked, you know, and it's like, no, because we don't want to be in the bondage of self anymore. It is exhausting. It's so tiring to lie, right? It's so tiring to pick up that food and tell ourselves, I got it this time. I can do it, you know, and what does this afford? Freedom, joy. To this day, what my insides match my outsides. I was so fake and I pretended with all of you. And then I had to binge because I couldn't stand the ache of being so out of disconnect with myself. And more importantly, disconnect with my maker. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, everybody, for all the shares today. Peggy, I'm so sorry, but come on back tomorrow. And for what I'd like to do is ask our closing reader, and that is Dana P., to read from the Big Book, page 164, and then we'll have the Serenity Prayer.
Thank you so much, Barbara, for your service and all the shares this morning. My name is Dana P. I am recovered in California, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the record of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.